I'm recording you.
Thank you.
Well, we've heard some pretty big testimony from Dale these beginning weeks of the work there in Monroe County. But tonight I'm going to talk about little things. Okay? Little things to avoid. If you'll turn to Song of Solomon, I'll tell you where that's at in a minute, as soon as I get there. You get Psalms and Proverbs, and then Song of Solomon. Okay? After Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The picture here in this particular chapter is that of a love relationship of two people. Verse 14 says, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, and let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It speaks of little things that can gnaw away at a tender love relationship.
Oh, amen.
Okay? Now, the literalness of verse 15 is that the little foxes, when they got into a vineyard, they would feed on the bottom of the vines because they're little. They can't get up higher, okay? But here it's talking about just like down low, the tender vine, okay, and the little foxes would gnaw at it. And so in a love relationship, there are little things that can gnaw away at a love relationship. We usually, not always, but usually, a man and a woman can withstand the big things. Because when it's a big thing, they know they have to brace themselves for it. This is something big. I gotta deal with this. Right now, my little 98 Ford Ranger truck, okay, the check engine light came on yesterday. Well, I checked the oil. It's not that, and so I don't know what it is, but I don't hear any noises, so I'll get it to the garage eventually, you know. When it quits running, I'll know there's a big thing. That'll have my attention, okay? And so in a relationship between a man and a woman, you see, the little things we think we can put up with. But one thing after another. I know when I did premarital counseling, one of my favorite illustrations was that you need to prepare yourself because you're going to each learn that you do things different. Now, you know, depending on how long they've been dating and in a relationship, they've learned a lot about each other, but they probably haven't learned, or they shouldn't have, learned about how you use a tube of toothpaste. Okay? Because you got some people that are middle of the tube squeezers. And then you have some people that use it from the end, and then they take their comb, just mention this, take their comb and they scrape it from the end toward the top. They roll it up and use a piece of electrical tape around it to keep it small. You see, now there's some instruction for you if you're into toothpaste too. But you know, you get a man and woman get married and they move in with each other, and they can handle the big things. But, well, let me tell you, that when somebody's particular about how those that toothpaste is rolled, and you got a middle of a squeezer, you know, every time that person comes in there, they're going to look at that tube, and it's going, you know. And now, that's only one illustration. There's all other kinds of stuff. Okay. Now, in a bathroom sink, I used to keep a sponge there, and we don't do it with a sponge anymore. We just use whatever towel is there. But when you know, when you wash your hands, you got water drips everywhere, right? Well, you know, they're not intended to be everywhere. And so you wipe them up, you see. And you keep the counter clean. Now, if you're a dripper and it doesn't matter, okay, then you're going to drive someone like me nuts. Or I'm going to drive you nuts. Because every time you come in, it looks like the maid was just there. And so that reminds me, at the library, one of my duties is to take care of the staff room. Well, I found out that 90% of the people that work at the library don't know how to do dishes. Because they'll, if they rinse them, they just sit in the sink. And besides, the drippies everywhere, okay? And so I made a sign. If you use a fork, a plate, a glass, then you wash it. Setting it in the sink is not the same as washing it. And then the next line was, the maid is not on duty right now. And then I signed it in a script font, the maid's assistant. The director was in one day when I was there, and she said, are you the maid's assistant? I said, what gave you that clue? I have a reputation everywhere. But you see, it's the little foxes, the little things that can, as it says here in Solomon, hurt the love relationship. Listen, people don't fall out of love. They don't fall into love either. What we generally, when we say they fell in love, what we're talking about is something that initially attracted one person to another. But love is a relationship. It's not an emotion. Love is a relationship, not an emotion. That relationship produces emotions.
Yes, sir.
But so many times people are looking for emotions. And yet that's not what love is. Now, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we get a relationship with Jesus Christ. The love that the Father has, we get that love by believing in Jesus and creating a relationship. Then, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, now we can begin to feel satisfaction, peace, excitement. We have the emotions. But too many times in religion, what people are looking for is the emotions. No, you get in a relationship. And when you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you'll get the emotions. You see, God made us with emotions. So emotions are not wrong. In fundamentalism, many times we have decried the emotions that charismatics have. Well, there's emotionalism, which is an out of balance, over stress of emotions. But God created us with emotions. It's a matter of keeping them in the right place, and as a result of our relationship with him. So little foxes, little sins that can erode our testimony. But then let's look at another little thing here. 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. And verse 18. Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Little service, okay, is what I'm talking about here now. Ahab served Baal a little. That's not a good thing, okay, for sure. But Jehu shall serve him much. And but then look at this. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests, let none be wanting. For I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But now, see these words. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. So, you see, Ahab served Baal a little. And Jehu comes along, he says, hey, listen, we're going to kick this up a notch. We're going to really serve Baal. And, of course, all the Baal people, they thought this was great. Now, Baal's a false god. But all the people that worshiped that false god thought this was great. Jehu's going to, you know, do even more. But it was in subtlety. He intended to destroy them. But he did it by letting them think he was going to really promote it. You say, well, that's how. What's the deal there? A little service is to cheat on God, and it leads to bold disobedience. Now, you see there? You look at that, and you think, well, yeah, but Jehu did a good thing by destroying them. I don't see the connection. I didn't either at first. Look at verse 30. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, took care of all the Baal worshippers, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, time for judgment, you see, is what it was. Thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But, see, verse 31, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. So it looked good, and Jehu accomplished some of the things that God wanted accomplished. God used him to accomplish the destroying of the worshipers of Baal. But you see, he was cheating on God. A little bit, you see, a little bit of service, it's cheating God. He didn't give him his wholehearted allegiance. He didn't give God his wholehearted life and service. And as a result of it, he didn't serve God with all his heart. Because he didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam. He thought he can dabble in a little bit of them. A few sins don't matter. Yeah, they did. They did. And even though Jehu had many good, promising things about him, it was nevertheless not a wholehearted surrender to God. And too many people who name the name of Christ have some good qualities, good things about them, but they're not sold out to God, they're not fully living for God, and as a result, God can't use them.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to end up falling. You see, Jehu thought he could get by with a little sin. Do a little bit like Jeroboam did. Oh, no. You're either in the church or you're not in the church. Okay? And you're either living for God or you're not living for God. You're either surrendered to God or you're not surrendered to God. I'm probably 50% surrendered. No, you could say I'm 50% unsurrendered. You see? Well, I'm 90% in favor of that. No, you're 10% holding out. You see? But we would tend to want to make it look good.
Yes, sir.
And so, little foxes, spoil the vines, destroy love, tender love. Little service, doing a little bit of cheating on God leads to a lot of cheating on God. And then in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to take a show of hands. But some people are morning people, and some people are not. Okay? Some people like to sleep in, and some people don't. What I'm about to read, I don't think, is dealing with the matter of sleeping in. Okay? And or not being a morning person. Okay? And I wanted to give that little disclaimer there. Chapter 6, verse 10. Yet a little sleep. And a little slumber. Just roll over one more time. A little folding of the hands to sleep. You know, I've often wondered that. When I first go to bed, I sleep on my back. Now, eventually, I'm going to roll on my side, okay? But I sleep on my back, and I find myself many times folding my hands like this, you know, while I'm laying there. And I wondered if that's what they're talking about. You know, I don't know. A little folding hands. And how long wilt thou sleep? See, O sluggard. So you see, the problem is being a sluggard. Sleep is descriptive of it. I don't believe liking to sleep or sleeping in makes one a sluggard. Okay? We've got to be careful that we don't make assumptions that, in my opinion, aren't intended. You say, well, that's just because you're not a morning person. That just might be. Very well, might be. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little. You know, there's another thing, you know. Now, when do you go to bed? Well, in the Bible times, you went to bed when the sun went down. They had candles. They may have had some oil lamps. But pretty much, you went to bed when the sun went down. Okay? Well, you know what? We have electric lights. And the Amish even have kerosene lamps that they can light their whole house with. So again, you have to understand some of these distinctions of time. Now you can't use our day to eliminate the point that the Bible's making. Oh, they said that in Bible times because that this and that was their custom and culture. We live today. No, you can't use our day to eliminate the truth the Bible teaches. But you do have to understand we can be up till 10, 11 o'clock. Okay? Because we have electric lights. And we can get up earlier, you say. Very honestly, most folks, not everybody, but most folks don't work as hard as what they worked in the Bible times.
That's right.
Good night. I mean, just look at our forefathers, our grandfathers, and the work that they put in in the fields. I know my mother-in-law, who were waiting to go to heaven, she would tell how she grew up in a farm, and they would eat half a dozen eggs, ham, bacon, you name it, grease galore, okay? But they didn't look like I look. Why? Because they worked. But you know, I even know that. I weighed 140 pounds when we got married. And I drove a delivery truck. Remember that? Snack Foods? And I think I told you before how I would go mom and pop stores. And I would go from one, I'd eat my way from one store to the next. At this store, I can see the store in my mind. They had homemade cream puffs. Whoa, boy, I'd buy one of them. And I'd eat that on the way to the next store. At the next store, they had peanut brittle. So I'd get a pound of peanut brittle, you know? And just all day long. But I didn't gain weight. You know why I didn't gain weight? I was running in and out of that truck all the time. I was bending up and down, picking up boxes of potato chips and pretzels, carrying them in. And that reminds me of another story. I had a trucker's wallet with one of those big long chains on it. Now these are mom and pop stores. And mom and pop stores back then had aluminum doors, screen doors, you know, with those nice pretty scrolled affairs on them. So here I am with three boxes of potato chips, you know, I'm going in and you just hit it with your elbow and you use your backside to keep that door open. The chain gets hooked on that pretty scroll. Now what do you do? So I took the chain off. Until one day, I was in a store and I made out my bill and I reached for my wallet and it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. This was the end of the day. I knew what happened. I lost it. I told him that I'll be back. I jumped in that truck and hightailed it back. You won't believe it. I didn't believe it. God was with me. My trucker's wallet was sitting upright on a parking lot like that. My land. I counted it. $800 and some was in it.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. I didn't know, at the time I realized I lost it, I didn't know what was in it, but now you say, what's all that got to do? I don't really think much of anything. That's what you call a true rabbit trail. Little sleep, little slumber. But you see, no matter how late I stayed up. Oh, by the way, you know when I started putting on weight? When I went into ministry. Because I'm no longer running in and out of stores, bending up and down, all of that stuff, you see. Now I'm going into people's homes. Would you like a piece of pie, Pastor? You can't be unsociable. You want a glass of milk with that? That'd be great. You know? And I just eat my way from one house to another. Yeah, our cultures determine when we get up, when we go down. But what this is about here, a little sleep, a little slumber, is the subtlety of laziness.
That's right.
You see, that's what it's talking about. And that's what we need to avoid. Now, I've got a couple other little things, but I can't give these little things because I gave a lot in some of the illustrations. So it may only seem like a little bit, but it can be very dangerous because of what it can lead to. Father in heaven, as we go to prayer to intercede on behalf of the needs, not only those that were spoken tonight, but even others.
Amen. Yeah.